أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, to those that joined us as well. I was going to move on to another compilation of a hadith. The two that are most salient in my mind are put a hadith on the virtues of the Quran and the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi, al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. Right? But I thought that I was going to skip over the last chapter of this book. Because, you know, I thought that the contents of these ahadith are obvious and unknown. But that, then I, you know, rethought and I thought that's a bad assumption to have. No, we must read the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And though the nature of these ahadith are less technical than what preceded in the ahadith of this book or the discussions around those ahadith, this is equally important. Ahadith on patience in affliction. How does the Muslim deal with affliction? How does the Muslim not, and how does he deal with affliction? Not on the level of you know, physical reaction or physical response. But how does the Muslim, how does the believer deal with affliction internally based on his theology? And that's something that's extremely important. It may actually be more important. I shouldn't say it's more important than anything else, but it's equally important, right? What about when we find ourselves in trying times? I have taken precautions. I've understood correctly what my responsibility is. I have, physically, I've done my part. And then I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we spoke last week about dua primarily, you know, taking a spiritual means. How I made my dua and I asked Allah to protect me. I asked Allah to cure those around me. But despite that, the outcome is not the one that I asked for. I'm still afflicted by sickness. May Allah protect us from sickness. You know, somebody close to me still passes on. May Allah protect and give long life to those that are beloved to us. Or some other affliction still befalls me. How should I think of that affliction? And, you know, one of the reasons why I feel this is important, though it's less technical, and I could probably make it technical, is that in our modern and postmodern world, one of the strongest arguments, or the most appealing, I shouldn't say strongest, it's not strong at all, but one of the most appealing arguments presented by atheists is the problem of evil, right, of theodicy. That they say, well, there's so much bad in the world. There's so much calamity. So since there's so much bad, how can there be a God? We say, no, no, my friend. You are going down the completely wrong line. Logically, your argument doesn't make sense. The fact that there's bad in the world doesn't in any way imply that there's no God. It would just imply that the God wanted that to be there. And in fact, it's in that belief in the God that we take solace, that this life is not a life of perfection. It's not a life of, it's not a life of true and complete justice. We strive for it to the best of our ability, but we know that it will never be attained. However, there is a day of reckoning wherein all debts will be settled, wherein all dues will be paid, and wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward. And that's actually what gives us the strength and the worldview to bear the afflictions of this world. And so, you know, to look at this in good light, to understand how we view affliction, it does a lot to fortify and give us appreciation of our faith. To fortify and to give us appreciation of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So it is important. And I just want to simply, we're going to read a few ahadith, right? And then derive lessons from him as a group. So the first hadith is Anil Jalal, Anil Lajlaj is the name of the narrator. Al Lajlaj ibn Hakim, radiallahu anhu. Ibn Hakim, rather. Radiallahu anhu, qal. He said, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul saying, Inna al-abda. إذا سبقت له من الله منزلة لم يبلغها بعمله ابتلاه الله في جسده أو في ماله أو في ولده. Right? If a slave has a station that's preordained by Allah, meaning if Allah decreed the slave of mine, he will reach the rank of a great wali. He has a high station. That's ordained by Allah. Allah wants good for this person. On account of whatever reason, maybe there is something that came from that person that Allah saw, that Allah recognized in his heart that this person is very sincere. Allah says that if a slave of mine has this preordained high station, لَمْ يَبْلُغْهَا بِعَمَلِهِ, that his deeds are not sufficient to take him to. He hasn't read enough Quran to be like the people on that station. He hasn't fasted like the people on that level fast. He hasn't prayed Yamul Layl like the people on that level have prayed. Then what does he say? Ibtalahu Allah fi jasadi. Allah gives him tests in his body. Meaning there may be sickness, or he may have some problem with some part of his body, some limb of his may be lost. Aw fi malihi, or in his wealth, he may suffer loss in wealth. He may suffer, bad business. أو في ولده, or in his children, he may have some affliction regarding his children. Maybe he loses a child or something like that. That, or his child placed him into some test. So what's the hadith saying? How do we view affliction? We view affliction, whatever it may be, whether it be in body, wealth, progeny, we view that affliction as an opportunity to reach a higher rank. How is that affliction an opportunity? The affliction is an opportunity when it's met with sabr. When it's met with sabr. But, that's on one level. On another level, you see, we may look at it as an opportunity. But how do we understand it as something that comes from this loving God? This loving Allah, this Allah that's Rahman, this Allah that's Rahim. How do we understand affliction in light of that? We understand affliction in light of that is that Allah is not giving it to me as long as I'm sincere and as long as I'm turning to Him. Then Allah is not giving me this affliction as a punishment. Allah is giving me this affliction as a means of raising me. Right? As untechnical as that may be, that's a very profound thing to shape better people. And that's why I couldn't skip over these hadith. In the next hadith we have here, عن صهيب رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and this is one of my favorite hadith that I'm sure I must have mentioned to many times before. عجبا لأمر المؤمن. How amazing are the affairs of a believer. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How amazing or wonderful is the affairs of a believer, the situation of a believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرِ. Indeed, all of his affairs, all of his matters are good. Some people speak of toxic positivity. Some people, this word is common in our time, toxic. They speak about toxic positivity. You can't always be positive. It's bad to be like that. No. We say, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. We say, how amazing are the affairs of a believer. Indeed, all of his affairs are good for him. وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن. That is not except for the believer. The one that doesn't have, and this is not, this is precise words here. The person that doesn't have belief doesn't have that virtue. He doesn't have that that same virtue that all of his affairs are good for him. How does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explain this? In asabatu sarra. If good times come his way, if affluence comes his way, shakara, he is grateful. He shows thanks. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ And then that is good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ And if hardship befalls him, if affliction comes his way, if bad times come his way, صَبَرَ He is patient. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ Then that is good. And that is good for him. What is good for him? His shukr. What is good for him? His sabr. What was the means to have that shukr? It was good times. What was the means to have the sabr? It was bad times. Every moment is either good times or bad times. If it's met with shukr or sabr in the appropriate place, then every moment of the life of a believer is good for him. Again, what does this teach us? Every opportunity, every situation, whether it be superficially good or superficially bad, is an opportunity for us from Allah to express either shukr or sabr. And our expression of shukr or sabr in these right places is what will bring us what is truly good for us. Right? It will bring us what is truly good for us. The pleasure of Allah, Jannah, bliss in the next life, in a life that is everlasting, in a life that is infinitely better in quality than this life. هذا حديث عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يريد الله به خيرا يصب منه أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه says that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said whomsoever Allah wants good for يصب منه he afflicts that person he gives that person tests that whoever Allah wants good for He gives that person tests. Why? The test is something that comes upon you. All that you have to do is patient. Be patient. And in that patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises you in ranks greatly. Again, this hadith is teaching us that the believer views affliction as just another state from the states that Allah bestows upon him. In therein is an opportunity. Therein is an opportunity, and an opportunity with less responsibility. There's an opportunity in affluence as well. There is an opportunity in affluence. If you have a lot of money, you can give a lot of charity. If you have ease and free time, you can do a lot for other people. But to be given that favor, and then spend the favor in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is oftentimes harder than to be faced by an affliction and do nothing but bear that with patience. To be given money and then to be deluded by that money is very easy. But the nature of affliction is that it actually shows you your need and makes you turn to Allah. So it's as if Allah puts you in a situation where you have to turn to Him, and then when you turn to Him, He rewards you for that. This is how we, as believers, conceive of Allah's mercy. Okay? And what is it that Allah causes us to be afflicted by? Life, the loss of things, wealth, whatever it may be. The reality is all of those things were returning to Allah anyways. They were going to go at some point. When you are afflicted by it in some way, then it's just that Allah is giving you that as an opportunity to turn back to Him. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وأبي سعيد رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أبو هريرة and أبو سعيد two different Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with both of them, they narrate from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said ما يصيب المؤمن من وصب ولا نصب ولا هم ولا حزن ولا أذى ولا غم. No believer is afflicted by any pain. وصب ولا نصب, no any tiredness or fatigue. ولا هم, no any worry or grief. ولا حزن, no any sadness. ولا أذى, no any أذى also means harm, but it means like a niggly harm, a small thing. So no any harm. Hazan, you can say sadness or depression also. Wala adha, no any small harm. Wala ghammin. Gham also means, Actually, no. Let's translate it as Hazan is, let's translate it as sadness or sorrow. Ghammin we translate as depression. Adha, slight harm. Right, so no wasab, no pain, no nasab, no tiredness, no ham, no worry, no hazan, no sadness. Sadness can be, is of various levels, right? So there can be a sadness that's also slightly like a level of depression. Wala adha, no any harm, niggling harm. Wala ghammin, no depression. حتى الشوكة يشاكها. شوكة is a thorn. Not even, or till the extent of a thorn that pricks him. حتى الشوكة يشاكها. To the extent of a thorn that pricks. إلا كفر الله من خطايا. Except that Allah expiates his errors. Allah expiates his sins. Right, so what's Allah saying? If Allah afflicts you with some difficulty, Allah wipes away your sins. Right, and that's why, you know, we would have come across this before. When we visit somebody that's sick, we say, La ba'sa, tahurun insha'Allah. There is no problem with this. It is a purification for you, insha'Allah, if Allah wills. Meaning, you sick now, that Allah is actually purifying you from your spiritual impurities. So see that. Right? Last two hadith. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, qala Allah ta'ala, Allah the Most High said, this hadith Qudsi. Allah the Exalted says, إذا ابتليت عبدي المؤمن, when I test my believing slave, ولم يشكني إلى عواده, and he doesn't complain about me to his visitors, to those people that come to him. He doesn't speak ill of me to anyone that comes to visit him. Right? أطلقته من أساري. أطلقته أسارة means, you know, speaks of captivity. So Allah says, أطلقته, I set him free من أساري, from my captivity, from my, you know, from being captured by me, or being incarcerated, here is the word used in this translation. I set him free from captivity. ثم أبدلته لحما خيرا من لحمه. And then I replace his flesh with a flesh that is better than his. وَدَمًا خَيْرًا مِنْ دَمِهِ. And I replace his blood with better blood. ثُمَّ يَسْتَأْنِفُ الْعَمَلِ. Then he begins his deeds all over again. Then he begins his deeds all over again. What is this referring to? This is referring to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you can understand it as in the next life, or you can understand, actually you should understand it about this life, because the verse hadith says, ثُمَّ يَسْتَأْنِفُ الْعَمَلَ, then he begins acting again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that every affliction that you undergo, and you don't complain about that affliction, It's as if Allah is giving you a new lease on life. Allah is giving you a clean slate. Not just as if wiping away your sins, it's as if Allah is giving you a clean slate. He gives you a skin that's better than your skin and blood that's better than your blood. What do you understand from it? That could be understood as figuratively. We can understand it that, you know, on account of you being, you not complaining in the face of affliction, Allah will make you literally more beautiful. Right? We cannot understand it as, you know, spiritually Allah will give you better skin. But we can also understand that Allah will enhance you in every way. That's physically and spiritually. Allah will give you that clean slate. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, from narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ash-shuhada'u khamsatun, that this glad tiding is specifically in relation to people passing away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the shuhada are of five types. Martyrs are of five types. There's other hadith that mention more. But yeah, he just mentioned five people are martyrs. Al-mat'oon. Al-mat'oon. People that die from a plague. Right? Some scholars would say that it only refers to the bubonic plague. The bubonic plague. That's called Black Death. Others would say it extends to other pandemics as well. Wal mabtoon, those who die from a stomach illness or some sickness in there, some ailment in their stomach. Wal gharik, person that dies on account of drowning. Wasahibul hadmi, a person that dies under a collapsed building, something basically falls on him. وَالشَّهِيدُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and the person that actually went out, fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were killed over there. So, what are we learning from this hadith? Being afflicted by a plague is a calamity, but there's also an opportunity in that. An opportunity that most of us would never be able to reach. There's hardly fighting in the path of Allah physically in our time. Right? There isn't an army that you can go join to. Do clear-cut jihad, right? So there is an opportunity in that for people to reach a rank that they would otherwise never have been able to reach. In what are those afflictions? The plague afflicts you. You don't go out seeking it, because then you're going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands for you to take precautions. But if it afflicts you, then and potentially be a source of shahada. The same goes for all of these other things: stomach ailments, drowning, something falling upon you, or physically dying in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why I felt not to skip over this hadith, as I mentioned before, is because it teaches us how to deal with affliction, how to not just deal with affliction, but how to view affliction. Right? How to view affliction. And that is that this affliction doesn't come from a side of Allah, you know, a vengeful side. No, this affliction comes from that same merciful Allah that gives you affluence and ease. Question: is this hadith only valid for believers? Yes. It must the person. You know, if they are mat'oon, mabtoon, gharik, sahib al-hadam, shaheed, that must be accompanied with belief in Allah. They may have been not the best of believers. You know, they might not have had the most rewards. But if they had these difficulties or these afflictions, then the virtue is for them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make us people. Well, we ask Allah for afiyah. We ask Allah for afiyah, that Allah doesn't put us into affliction. Right? As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in all of those hadith we read last week. Allah give us afiyah. But, you know, if we ever find ourselves in a situation of affliction, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who view it as Allah wants us to view it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to, you know, to help others through their affliction by connecting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is extremely important. You know, these ideas, these ahadith, for those that want to look at it in a more technical way, you can think of this in light of the problem of theodicy. But we can speak about that at another time, inshallah. We're in there for now. Are there any questions before we end? All right, we'll end there for break then, inshallah. Next week we're off, and I'll see you guys the week thereafter, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. Have a good holiday.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.